looking, and over the next few weeks, going to be looking at Daniel, the book of Daniel. The book of Daniel, I believe, is a relevant book for today. We all know, well, I'm sure most of us know the story. One of the famous stories from Daniel is Daniel in the lion's den. But it's a message today that speaks into our culture today, as it did then. The truth is, I believe that our culture is moving away from God. It's changing. It's shifting at such a rapid pace. The culture of today, I believe, is even creeping into the church. I remember John Glass, who used to be our national leader for Elam. He called it the creeping darkness, where he talked about just how the culture and the things of the world just creep into the church. And we had to be careful. We had to watch over that. Let me also say, I believe that these times that we are in are probably one of the greatest times for the harvest of God, for sharing the gospel in these times. So it's not all bleak. By the way, our culture is changing. Our culture is getting darker. There is confusion. But let me say, for the believer, this is a time when we can let the light of Jesus just shine. Many people, I believe, are out there searching, looking, wondering who's going to answer their questions. Well, the answer is Jesus. The answer is Jesus. So, what do we do as believers when the culture is changing and moving away from God? Do we batten down the hatches? Do we hold the fort until Jesus comes back and saves us from all of this? How do we live in a world without being conformed to the way of the world, the worldly thinking? How are we going to be a blessing to our world? How are we going to be a blessing to our world and not be shaped by our world, but be an influence in our world, which I believe we can. And we can see that from the book of Daniel. You know, Daniel lived in a Babylonian city. He was taken captive, but he stayed true to his God. How did he do that when such influence was coming upon his life and his three friends? One core verse I want to give you today that's going to be a core verse for over the next few weeks that we are going to be looking at Daniel, from Romans chapter 12. And it says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. His good, his pleasing, and his perfect will. The message brings it a bit more closer to home. The message reads, same verses like this. So here's what I want you to do. God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life. You're sleeping, you're eating, you're going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does is for you is the best thing that you can do for him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit in without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You will be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you. There is things in you that God has put in you, and he wants to bring it out, and he wants you to shine in these days in his strength. The book of Daniel, well, it's in the Old Testament, and it's in the part of the major prophets there in the Bible. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel, I think are the five main ones. There was minor prophets, not that these were inferior or smaller, they're just shorter books. Daniel's quite a long book, 12 chapters. Their first six chapters, stories, chapters 7 to 12 is where we see Daniel getting visions and dreams about future events, things that happened and things still to happen. Daniel, just by way of introduction and context, was probably about 16, 17 when he was taken into captivity. That is what scholars believe, 16 or 17. But just think of what you were like at 16 or 17. Think of some of our 16 and 17-year-olds taken from a land that they knew and was home into a foreign land and made slaves and taken into the king's courts to serve and to slave. By chapter 10, Daniel was in his 70s, 80s. But chapter 6 gives us the key to what Daniel was like, his core. And it talks about Daniel so distinguished himself among the administrators and the satraps by his exceptional qualities that the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. He was a man taken captive, and yet the king saw something in him and wanted to make him in charge, promote him over the whole kingdom. Daniel so distinguished himself. Daniel possessed, I believe, two critical characteristics. I believe he had conviction in who he was in God, who his God was, what he stood for. He had a conviction to live by. And I feel that we need to find that place where we have that conviction. Was it they say, if you don't stand for something, you will fall for anything? And even in these days, I believe for Christians, and sad to say, there's many Christians just given up. They've given up. What's it all about? They've lost faith. They've lost just that belief, that conviction. But I believe we need to hold on. Jude talks about contending for our faith. When our world is changing, when our world is disbelieving in God, when people are coming against Christianity, it does. I mean, it's going to take strong men and women who will stand in these days. And let me say, it's not in their own strength, it's in the strength of God. And Daniel had courage. Daniel had courage. He refused to conform to the ways of the Babylonians. He never compromised or bowed to the culture, but he was someone who I believe influenced his culture. And I believe we can be an influence in our culture today. Does anyone else believe me here? The church, I believe, is the hope of the world. The church is the hope of this world. Because we are Jesus' hands and feet. We are Jesus' mouthpiece. We are the ones called to show that care and compassion to others, showing the love of Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit. In fact, let's read Daniel chapter 1. During the third year of King Jehoiakim's reign in Judah, King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon came to Jerusalem and besieged it. The Lord gave him victory over King Jehoiakim of Judah and permitted him to take some of the sacred objects from the temple of God. So Nebuchadnezzar took them back to the land of Babylonia and placed them in the treasure house of his God. Then the king ordered Ashpenaz, the chief of staff, to bring to the palace some of the young men of Judah's royal family and other noble families who had been brought to Babylon as captives. select only the strong, healthy, and good-looking young men. Make sure they are well-versed in every branch of learning and gifted with knowledge and good judgment, and are suited to serve in the royal palace. Train these young men in the language and the literature of Babylon. The king assigned them a daily ration of food and wine from his own kitchens, and they were to be trained for 3 years, and then they would enter the royal service. Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah were four of the young men chosen from the tribe of Judah. The chief of staff renamed them these Babylonian names. Daniel was called Belteshazzar. Hananiah was called Shadrach. Mishael was called Meshach. Azariah was called Abednego. But Daniel was determined not to defile himself by eating the food and the wine given to them by the king. He asked the chief of staff for permission. He asked for permission not to eat these unacceptable foods. Now, God had given the chief of staff both respect and affection for Daniel. But he responded, "I am afraid of my lord the king, who has ordered that you eat this food and drink this wine, and that you, if you become pale and thin compared to the other youths your age, I am afraid the king will have me beheaded." Daniel spoke with the attendant who had been appointed by the chief of staff to look after Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. "Please test us for 10 days on a diet of vegetables and water," Daniel said. "And at the end of the 10 days, see how we look compared to the other young men who are eating the king's food. Then make your decision on the light of what you see." The attendant agreed on Daniel's suggestion and tested them for 10 days. At the end of the 10 days, Daniel and his three friends looked healthier and better nourished than the young men who had been eating the food assigned by the king. So after the attendant fed him only vegetables instead of food and wine provided by the others, God gave these four young men an unusual aptitude for understanding every aspect of literature and wisdom. And God gave Daniel the special ability to interpret the meaning of visions and dreams. When the training period ordered by the king was completed, the chief of staff brought the young men to King Nebuchadnezzar. The king talked with them, and no one impressed them as much as Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. So they entered the royal service. Whenever this king consulted them in any matter requiring wisdom and balanced judgment, he found them 10 times more capable than any of the magicians and enchanters in his entire kingdom. Daniel remained in the royal service until the first year of the reign of Cyrus. Daniel and his three friends are taken. Israel had turned away from God. This is what brought the judgment of God on the people. And God allowed the enemy to take these people into captivity. Idols, immorality, the climate of the day was wicked. The philosophy of that culture was, let's make a name for ourselves. Let's make a name for ourselves. Let's make a name for ourselves. If you look up Babel in the dictionary, you will see the words, a confused noise made by a number of voices. And do you know, and as I look at our world, I believe our world is in confusion. We have gender confusion. Do you know what I mean? The politicians were trying to figure out how to fix this world, how to fix the problems, and so there is just confusion all over. People looking for answers, people giving opinions, and how, what's the best way to go, the best way to live. But the only way, I believe, is the way to live where we will see things change is according to the word of God. And we need to pray in these days for people, for that harvest. The Holy Spirit is the one that does the work. I mean, it's not your opinion that gets them. It's the work of the Holy Spirit that opens them up to the truth of God's word. There are many voices speaking into our nation, into our lives. Let's bring it home. Our mobile phones, television, social media. We are bombarded with information. We are bombarded with opinions. And many of us don't know what to believe. And the truth is, we have to find that place where we can block out voices from our world, hear the voice of God and what the Holy Spirit is saying to us, to send to you. It's why we have built into our life, we call it soaking, meditating, just sitting quietly before God and just listening for His still, small voice. My sheep know my voice. You can know the voice of God, just that still, small voice, that inner knowing by the Holy Spirit. Let him who is an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. There was an agenda of Nebuchadnezzar towards these three men, towards the people that he brought into captivity. And it was to change them, change their thinking, to change their worship, to change their lifestyle. This was about changing their identity. But in verse 8, Daniel, it says, remained uncompromising. He resolved not to eat or defile himself with the king's food. And these foods would be offered to idols before the king got them and before Daniel got them. And so he didn't want to defile himself. Daniel refused the king's delicacies and he refused the king's edict that you must eat this food. Dare to be a Daniel. Dare to be a Daniel. I believe there's a need for today, for the church to live with conviction and with courage. The world wants to feed you the sweet delicacies and the pleasures of the world to intoxicate you. But we need a resolve to know when to say no and when to say yes. We need that inner conviction so that we know when to say no and when to say yes. I've got here, only a generation of God-fearing men and women living with biblical convictions, not opinions, based on the truth of God's word and filled with the Holy Spirit, can we navigate the pressure of a Babylonian culture, of the culture of today? The word of God. We've been talking about the word of God and the Holy Spirit. The culture today wants you to compromise your standards. Everyone else is doing it. Everyone else is doing it. It is difficult to go against the grain. It is difficult to go against the culture. It's difficult to go against the crowd, as we will see in a couple of weeks' time, the three friends who were asked to bow. Do you know how many of us, as we have been walking, and the crowd seems to be coming the other way, and we get bumped and we get knocked. In fact, on holiday, we always found that we seem to be walking in a different direction from everybody else. Why are these people not going the same way as us? And they would look at you as if, what are you doing? Get out of my way. But it is difficult to go against the push of the world. God caused favor to come upon Daniel and his friends. And I believe God can bring favor and does and is doing, bringing favor into our lives. In your workplace, I believe God can bring favor on your life. And as you study in university or college, God can bring favor upon your life where you will excel. And I believe, stand out. Question is, do you want to stand out? I believe God raises up men and women that are needed to speak into the current climate of today. They were given new names. Let's change their identity. They were given Babylonian names to replace the Hebrew names. Daniel was given the name Belteshazzar. Hananiah, Shadrach, Mishael, Meshach, Azariah, Abednego. Babylonian names replaced their Hebrew names. Their Hebrew names was their identity, and that contained their belief in God. For these guys, what's in a name? What's in a name? My name's Stephen, Crown of Splendor. Do you know the meaning of your name? What's in a name? What's the big deal? It's only a name change. One pastor said, the name or the names that you allow to label you often title the scripts that you live by, what you have been named. W.C. Fields, it ain't what they call you, it's what you answer to. Identity change. Daniel, God is my judge. God is my ruler, my guide in life. God is not distant from me. He is involved in my life and daily living. He wants the best from me. God is my judge. The Babylonian name Belteshazzar, treasurer of Bel. Lady, protect the king, is what his name was changed to. A reference to the wife of a Babylonian deity, Bel. It was King Nebuchadnezzar's way of Babylonizing. Daniel, Hananiah, the Lord shows grace. Yahweh has been gracious. Shadrach, I am scared of God. I am a servant of Aku, the moon god. Mishael, who is like God? Who can compare to my God? No one. Meshach, who is like Aku, the moon god? Azariah, Yahweh has helped. The Lord helps me. How can people tell when God helps me? By watching my life and seeing how I respond to what life throws at me. Abednego, servant of Nabu, the son of Marduk. No mention of protest for Daniel and his three friends. I believe their attitude was, it doesn't matter what they call me, you can't change my identity. You can't change who I am in God. I am a child of the living God. I am treasured by God. I am loved by God. And no matter what the world calls you or names you, it can't change who you are in God. I'm a child of God. You're a child of God. You're a child of God. The world culture may try and name you, but it can't change who you are in God. Babylon could change their name, but it couldn't change who they were, their identity. And we have been given an identity in Christ. We are created in the image of God. So, in closing, what do we need to take? What would I like you to take from this message this morning? Is first, you've got to know your identity, who you are as a believer. We are all sinners saved by grace. We have all been taken from a kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light if you know Jesus as your Savior today. You are a child of the living God. You have a seal, the Holy Spirit, a seal guaranteeing that inheritance of what is to come. You've got to know who you are, and you've got to know who you belong to. I belong to Jesus. You've got to know what you believe. What do you believe today? What do you believe about God, about his word, about your life? What do you believe? You need to enter the word of God for yourselves. So when you're out in that world facing life, and people come. Bible talks about having the reason, giving that reason for our faith. This is why I'm a Christian, because Jesus has changed my life. He died for me. I owe him my life, and that is my conviction. And for Annette and I, that has been our conviction for a long time. So when Jesus asked us to say yes to him, and when we said yes, he took us at our word, and we have held on to that. Has there been tough times? You bet there has. Has there been times when we wanted to give up? There has been times. But it also, I believe, makes you want to get into the Word of God and say, God, I need to know what I believe. Conviction about the way that we live and believe. A courage to live God's way. And you know, for us as believers, we've got to get to the core belief of why we are Christians today, why I am a Christian today. And that is found in the Word of God. That's found by the Holy Spirit revealing truth to our lives. Him giving us the courage to live by that core belief in these days that we are living in. Hebrews 10, let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering. Let us stand firm in the truth of God's word and our trust in him. But let us also show grace and love. I will stand and tell people what I'm for, not what I'm against. I will stand and tell people what I'm for. Too many times have Christians stood and shouted about what they're against. And I believe it just turns the world off. But what would happen if Christians actually stood and shouted about what they were for? We are for loving people. We are for showing compassion. We are for, yes, standing in the truth of God's word, living our Christian lives the way God has told us to through his word in these days. We have to stand. When you've done everything to stand, stand. We have to stand in prayer. We have to stand for the gospel and the work of Jesus. Standing up for Jesus. Stand up for Jesus. J.B. Phillips' final translation, don't let the world around you squeeze you into its mold. But let's be men and women who will bring influence into our world, our space. Do you know, many of us think, I've got to change the world. No, you don't. Bring some change where you serve, where you work, where you live, where you do your garden, where you do your shopping. Let me encourage you, as you are out there, pray, God, give me one person today that just needs to know that they are loved. Just one, God. And I believe God will bring that person into your space and for you to bring that influence, for you to be that blessing as you are being blessed.